Hi, I'm Tim Peter, and welcome to Solo Segment Search Chat. Who is Solo Segment? Well, we're a tech company that focuses on personalization without personal information by using intent data and AI-driven content discovery to help enterprises make their content yield more effectively. You can learn more about how Solo Segment can help you by going to solosegment.com. In this episode of Search Chat, Solo Segment CEO Steve Zaker and I discuss the rise of ITP and the death of cookies. We talk about Google's recent adoption of the standard and what that means for your business. And we offer some guidelines on how you can make personalization work for you without personal information. All that and more on Solo Segment Search Chat, coming at you now. Hi, Steve. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Tim. How are you doing?
I am absolutely spectacular. And you can ask anybody.
I was going to say, you said it so enthusiastically. Almost sounds like a falsehood, Tim.
It is not. Steve, it is never a bad day when I'm talking to you. And that's the truth. This is actually a lot of fun. This is usually one of the highlights.
This is actually a good time. So I hope it is for our listeners too. But if nothing else,
that's exactly right. Well, I'm having a beer right now. I hope they are too. So you know,
there you go.
Believe me, folks. For those of you who are listening, you know, at home or at work, the drunker you get, the better we get. So.
Although, if they're listening to this in the car on the way to work,
correct. Fair point. That's sure. Exactly right. Sure. Well said. Safety first, last, and always. That's exactly right.
Absolutely.
All right. So, there was a big, pretty big honking deal from a news perspective that affects all digital marketers in a pretty significant way that you and I were talking about earlier.
And you know what really irritates me about this announcement? It's not so much the announcement itself, although we'll get to that in a moment. What really irritates me is they announced this like the day after we recorded our last podcast. Right? So we've had to sit around and kind of keep this, you know, stewing for a week and a half, 2 weeks. So, big news. Big news on Google land.
So what is big news, Steve?
Well, you know, it's this whole ITP thing that I guess Apple started this, right?
Apple was certainly one of the folks who pushed this in a big way. Firefox. Yeah. Has also been a pretty significant player in it. But yeah, I do think this started with Apple primarily.
Yeah. So, you know, back then they called it intelligent tracking prevention. And I think we are all coming to know of it as the death of cookies. But So I guess 2 weeks ago now, Google announced that they were signing on to this whole principle that third-party tracking wasn't a good thing. And I think the thing that kept everybody from running out onto the window ledge was they said they're going to let this thing kind of roll out over the next 2 years. So everybody has time to kind of adjust their business models if you're a provider of technology or capability. And certainly, you know, all the buyers who rely upon this, certainly anybody who buys programmatic that often relies upon these third-party cookies is going to have to kind of adjust how they get their message out into the market. So yeah, but again, you know, Chrome is going to adopt this cookie prevention technology and block these third-party cookies. And so it's we're back to a first-party world.
Which ultimately is probably a pretty good thing, but has serious implications for, you know, for advertisers, certainly for the intermediaries who sell advertising. Mm-hmm. But you know, can you talk about what some of those implications are? Why do people care about this? Why should they care about this? And if I can ask, you know, extend it to ITP more generally, because there's a few things going on there. So it'd be great to talk about, you know, what the concerns are there, what the potential implications are there.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm glad you asked the question and how people are thinking about this, because if you actually go all the way back to the fundamental underpinnings of why does GDPR and CCPA, so those regulatory frameworks, exist, and of course now why is ITP emerging and this third-party cookie tracking emerging as an issue, it is because of the humans. And I think we've talked about this on prior podcasts.
Yep. But,
you know, we, and I think it's the collective we, but I think it's every individual too, has been trained not to to trust companies who store their personal data, because some people lose it, right? Some people just leave it on a thumb drive on an airplane. Yep. Some people get it stolen from them. And then there are other people who say, hey, I'm going to use it in one way, and then actually go off and use it in another way, which we probably wouldn't have agreed to had we known that. And so, the humans on this planet in a very short period of time have been trained to not trust data holders. And so that's, I think, the starting point of all this. And I think that it's incumbent upon us as business people, whether we're buyers or sellers, right, is to recognize that, again, it goes back to the end consumer who is concerned about how their data is being used. And that's why this is happening. So as much as we want to rail against, oh, Apple, why did you do this? Or Google, why did you do this? It's like, no, it's the humans. It's the people who give you money ultimately.
And to be fair, to be entirely fair to Google, and I can't believe I'm going to be fair to Google here, because we like to beat Google up occasionally.
Sure.
And justifiably so.
Amen.
But in this specific case, it's also there's this great podcast that I listen to all the time called Stratechery, which is a guy named Ben Thompson, and he came up with this idea of something called a strategy credit that I think is worth pointing out. You know, Apple could push for this because they don't rely on advertising for their business model, right? They're able to focus more on privacy because they don't rely on the data.
It's painless to take the high ground, right?
Painless to take the high ground, which is exactly what he means by a strategy credit. Right?
Oh,
they didn't do this. They didn't do this initially because their strategy didn't revolve around it. It's that their strategy of how they go to market and all this other kind of thing allow them to do this. And yeah, it's the painless way to take the high ground. So in this specific case, Google actually is taking the high ground in a more, they have bigger downsides of taking the high ground here, which is probably why it's going to take them 2 years to do it, right?
Yeah.
Yes, they're making it easier for the sellers of advertising and the like to accommodate this change, but also there's some very real potential downsides to Google. So they don't, they don't benefit from that from their strategy at the outset, so they got to work through it. But good on Apple, good on Firefox, who's done this for a long time now, and now probably good on Google for going in this direction.
Yeah, I think so. I think just generally it's the right thing to do regardless of the pain to the whole ecosystem. It creates a framework that allows, again, the humans to be kind of more in control to the extent that they can exert control. The other group of people, of course, is the people at Google. And what did they do and why did they do this? I think they did respond to some of the pressure. They probably saw regulatory/antitrust pressure on the horizon. Mm-hmm. This does feel, especially in Google's case, a bit like taking the ladder up, right, after you've achieved the high ground, right? So,
you
think about their ad networks can probably rely in a large part on the first party data that they collect on a lot of their properties, like search, like YouTube, right? So they collect a lot of first party data. And so I think for them, while their ad business, I'm sure, ran on some third-party data,
has for a long time.
Yeah, amen. But they have a lot of first-party data, so that they have the ability to soften the blow. And I think that for the people at Google, it's a meritable, if that's a word.
Change. I love that word. Yes. We're going to go with that.
Yeah, good for them. But at the same time, you do also feel a little bit like it was easy to seed this because they see a different way forward. And if there's any company on this planet that knows how to use data, it is Google, right? To use data to their advantage. And so my gut tells me that they have, you know, decoded a way to soften the blow on their end from a third party perspective.
For sure. And, well, it's to that end, you know, it's, I was in an event not long ago, and I'm going to keep this specifically anonymous because, you know, this was not all for public consumption. So I want to make sure I'm only citing that which I feel comfortable citing without, you know, violating any confidences. But, you know, there was an individual from Google and they were talking about how we've probably reached or maybe even passed the point of peak metrics. You know, all the data that we were ever going to collect or the volume of data we were going to collect from any one individual or any one person probably is behind us. Oh, interesting. You know, and going forward, we're going to have to collect less but smarter. And the point that the individual talked about was this idea of predictive measures versus precise measures. You know, up till now, we've tried to get closer and closer to really, really precise measures, have a lot of precision around what the data tells us.
Right.
And, you know, this person was saying, that's probably not the right way to think about it in a GDPR world, in a CCPA world, in an ITP world. But instead, how do we come up with the measures that are actually predictive?
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, funnily enough,
yeah,
works that. There are.
Yeah, that, well, right? We like that. Yeah. So, you know, I do think that, you know, the not the final group of people, because there's a special category of folks, and those are the people who run programmatic advertising businesses. That this is a sea change for them. So we'll set them aside for a moment, but we'll deal with the people, you know. So now we're talking about the companies, the advertisers, the folks who want to connect with other people in order to do business, right? They have some changes that are going to kind of be faced with. But I do think that the market is going to respond in ways, especially given that they have 2 years, that's going to make, it's going to soften the blow for them as well. But if you are, you know, a B2B marketing exec at some large company, you know, the way this changes your world is pretty fundamental. I mean, first, from an ad spend perspective, you're likely going to be shifting your ad spend from places where you've traditionally done it, like big programmatic bucket buys that are targeted on segment and yada, yada, likely to the holders of the first party data. So I think big wins for Google, big wins for Facebook, big wins for basically anybody who has a large first party platform, right? If you have the ability, so the large media outlet, I mean, you know, everybody's complaining the media might be dead, but heck, those people probably have a lot of first party data. So you're going to be shifting your spend. And so I think that's part of the way marketers are going to have to respond here. I think another way that they're going to have to do a change their thinking is really to be thinking about how they use first-party data, what their first-party data strategy is. Because, you know, especially the customers that we talk to, especially when we're talking about personalization, you know, there's been a lot of work going on to build platforms or subscribe to platforms that make it possible to merge third-party data with first-party data, you know, this whole like enriching of data so that you can better target, better know the person who's, you know, wandering onto your property. And so, you know, again, we don't know exactly how this is going to play out from Google's perspective, but I suspect that model is, I don't know, I'll be bold and say it's dead, right? It's, you know, the platforms are going to have to be shift to either do one of two things, right? One is either be really good at first party data usage or, you know, to your predictive notion, right? Be able to use your data to do really good anonymous targeting, right? To know.
You mean kind of like we do?
Kind of in a shameless self-serving commercial for our technology.
I had to. Sure. I mean, on the marketing side, that's my
you
job.
Bet. Right? Then I appreciate that. But it is. It's very much, you know, when you don't know the person, right? And that's going to be in a large, especially for our clients who are B2B enterprises, right? Long, complex sales cycles, multiple personas involved. You know, visits over lengths of time where cookies, if everybody's doing it right, cookies expire. And so, you know, you have a lot of anonymous traffic and they kind of tried to fill in the gaps there with some third party data. But now that that's not going to be available, the question becomes, you know, how do you respond to that? And, you know, I got to tell you, you know, I wish I was brilliant enough to see this happen. right? That ITP was going to gain momentum so fast, and that we, and that's the reason we built this into this, our business strategy. Well, I mean, the reality is,
well, that's our strategy, right? We just,
well, it is, but I mean, we did intentionally go down this anonymous path because we saw
that's
a different thing. We were actually saw the regulatory side evolving very quickly, right? We saw GDPR followed by CCPA followed by every other, you know, scary privacy thing coming on board. And that's the reason we built our business to deal with anonymous personalization, anonymous prediction of goals and all this other stuff, because that's the thing we saw coming was this, this CCPA, GDPR kind of world. But it is very interesting that the industry shifted from a, from kind of regulatory frameworks to, I mean, they'll probably say it's self-governance, sure.
Yeah. Well, that's right. I mean, I think that's fair. I think it's interesting. You know, it's, I don't really know, there's probably a way we can frame this into a question or frame this into the discussion in a different way. But, you know, this is something that never occurred to me of the benefits to the consumer of GDPR have been evident, you know, since they announced it. But the thing that didn't occur to me is the benefit to businesses. It sort of woke them up to maybe self-regulation, you know, the, to the industry is self-regulation might be a better way to go because, you know, some of the things associated with GDPR are onerous in the least. And frankly, not as clear as they ought to be. So maybe just having self-regulation kind of protects industry from some of these more onerous requirements, you know, do the right thing from the outset. You don't have to worry about big government coming in and smacking you around for doing it wrong.
Right, right, exactly. So yeah, good for them. I mean, and good for us, by the way. I'm really happy that, you know, our our strategic vision has played out, even if it didn't play out for the exact reason that we thought it would. But, you know, again, it is a trend that I think will only continue. And so, you know, again, good first party strategy and a really solid way to deal with the anonymous data that or the anonymous visitor, and how do you use your data to do something to help determine what is it that that anonymous visitor needs at a given point in time? And that's what our prediction engine does. So, so I think that that is something that is definitely going to have to become an increasing part of the tool of the marketer in, and kind of back to your whole comment about precision versus prediction, you know, I think gone are the days when, you know, we'll be able to hoover up all this data that's outside our domain to really get a good sense of something. And what we're going to have to do is instead be really good at modeling reality, right? What does reality look like from a data perspective? What can the engine kind of do looking at historical data, looking at the real-time data it's seeing to try to be able to in some way predict, you know, what's occurring in our environment and what should we do? And in terms of, you know, marketers, right? You know, when we're acquiring traffic, you know, what's the intent of this traffic? What's it trying to achieve? And how do we help it achieve it? Knowing nothing more than this traffic showed up on our doorstep and is behaving in certain ways.
Yeah, totally. Well, it's funny. I want to come back to that in just a moment. I heard a cool word the other day, and it gets it gets right to what you were just talking about. And the word of the day, folks, is surrogation, which I guess comes from the same root as this idea of, you know, a surrogate, where surrogation is where you substitute the thing that is easier for the thing that is harder because it's easier, not because it's better. You know, there's the old joke about this guy leaves a bar or something like that, and he loses his keys, and he's looking under the street lamp for his keys, and one of his friends comes out and says, you know, well, where did you last know you had them? And he goes, over there in that dark alley. And the friend says, well, then why are you looking over here? And he said, well, because the light's better over here. So to your point of, you know, coming up with predictive models that are genuinely predictive, you know, the mistake you don't want to make, the mistake people want to avoid is, you know, coming up with models that are easy as opposed to models that are actually useful.
Yes.
You know, so can you talk about that a little bit and how we think about that, and, you know, where we're going with that?
Yeah, well, I think what's really interesting is the evolution of dashboards. I think Google, to a certain extent, has been guilty of this, at least with it, you know, in the product, right, in their dashboards and whatnot. But, you know, it's this notion that if we just have, and, you know, the right information presented in the right way, humans can make the decision. So I think that's part mm-hmm. of it. And then, of course, the other thing is, you know, humans just have that by their nature, right? They want to take the easy way out. And so, yeah, I mean, it's yeah, just, it, yeah. it unfortunately is human nature.
Well, yeah. Well, because it's easier. I mean, yeah, it's not, you know, not
bad like, people. Right. Yeah, it's just right, easier. Exactly. But again, this whole notion of looking for kind of the common way of thinking about our business, we think about it from a dashboard perspective, and humans interact with data to make decisions, and then those decisions are implemented maybe by other humans. That's kind of the way I come at this, because it's very natural to think, well, you know, if I'm not going to have this thing in my dashboard, well, what's the other thing I'm going to have in my dashboard, right? And I think that is fundamentally the wrong way to look at it.
Right.
Focusing on the outcomes, right? So the outcome that you have today is that mm-hmm. people are able to analyze data in order to deliver a capability that moves a visitor from A to B to C and ultimately to D, where they're becoming a customer. And so now the question is, all right, given that you don't have that ability, and quite frankly, given that with that absence of data, it's going to be increasingly hard for humans to make those decisions. Mm-hmm. How then mm-hmm. can you use technology to help you out here? And this is where yeah. I think, you know, big benefactor in all this is anybody who has a machine learning platform or, you know, some mm-hmm. sort of engine that is able to ingest data and predict it. I hope we are, you know, one of those winners. I think B2B marketers have been looking for a long time for kind of the burning platform where AI can be put to practical use.
Yeah.
And this is the burning platform, because if you don't have all that rich data, you have to start connecting dots that frankly only algorithms can help you, smart algorithms can help you do. And so that's where they're going to turn.
It's a great point. You know, it's funny. That's a really great point, Steve. I saw a product the other day, and I'm not going to name the product because A, they're potentially a competitor of a sort, and B, I'm not trying to shame them because what they did was not a terrible idea by any stretch. But I saw a platform that exists out there that, you know, provides some analytic data and the like. And what they did that's very smart and maybe less smart simultaneously is that they wrapped services around it, right? So it's not a platform that they just hand off to you and go with God, my friend, right? It's we're going to provide support, and we're going to have regular calls with you, and we're going to walk you through the meaning of the data and the mm-hmm. like. So they recognized that lots of companies struggle to interpret the data that they get from various sources and all. So they're going to actually provide the professional services and support included in the product such that you get value out of the data, which is, it's a good idea, right? Because how many times have you seen people that have, you know, a dashboard or an analytics tool or something along those lines that, you know, there's interesting stuff in there, but they have either they lack the skills or they lack the time or the resources to go in and actually put that to use.
Yeah.
You know, where I would argue our approach is better. And, you know, I think we've been really smart is, instead of focusing on the people side of it, we focus on the automation side of it. How do you just put the data to work?
Yes.
Realistic, you know, not realistically, how do you put it to work automatically, mm-hmm. you know? So anyway, it's good on these folks for coming up with a solution to the problem. I think we might have, you know, a different approach and one that I think in the long term is better, especially if third-party cookies cause issues for
these. Yeah, things, right? and it's gone out. I mean, anybody who is in is believes that this is not a fundamental sea change is in strong denial. What I do think, though, is much like GDPR. You know, GDPR was always, oh, it's a year and a half away. Oh, it's like a year. It was always a long way away until it wasn't. Right. And everybody scrambled in those last 30 days to, like, you know, get it together.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was funny. I've been paying attention to the trade press and focusing on some of our competitors who rely upon third party data. And yet nobody's panicking at this point. Right. So I think it is this 2-year window, much like with GDPR and some of the other regulatory frameworks, has bought people a lot of time to think about, well, hopefully I won't be in this job by the time that rolls out. So there you go. So it'll probably be another 12 months or so before folks start realizing, no, wait a minute, this could happen in my tenure and I've got to start really paying attention. So, you know, nobody's panicking yet, but I think the level of uncertainty is high because, you know, Google has certainly said nothing specific about this. And, you know, retargeting and, you know, third-party ad platforms are still as vibrant as ever. I still get their ads and their emails all the time. So, yeah, so nobody's panicking yet, but it really is a fundamental sea change. And I think the smart companies are going to be the ones who, much like they did with GDPR, you know, started thinking about, well, how does this change my reality? How does this change my reality externally? So what is it I'm doing with ad networks and all those other things, you know, kind of outside my funnel? And how does it change internally, right? So once I've gotten and acquired some traffic or acquired some attention, you know, how do I progress that attention given this reality that, heck, I'm certainly not going to know that this was Tim from Solo Segment, who's been here seven times before, likes cats and yada, yada, right? I'm not going to have any of that anymore, right? I may not even be able to say, you know, some of these companies out here who do just kind of the visitor ID, you know, account-based management approach, which says, oh, well, here's a visitor who seems to be from the tech industry. You know, maybe that's not available, right? It might just be that everybody who comes to your site is going to be anonymous, you know, day one. And so how do you deal with that reality? And that is, I think, what, you know, smart marketers are going to do is kind of begin to get those teams together of everybody's affected both on the internal side as well as the external side to begin to think about, you know, what's our first party strategy? What's our anonymous visitor strategy? What's our, I guess for a better, lack of a better word, the walled garden strategy, right? What first party ad opportunities are out there where I'm going to deal with the Facebooks and those guys of the world because they have good first party data. You know, how am I going to deal with them? But, you know, really is putting that strategy together that encompasses both those internal and external pieces. And then think about, all right, you know, who are the vendors who are going to help me with that? How are my current vendor platform vendors going to be changing to help me deal with this reality? And of course, I hope that they'll pick the phone up and call us a bit to ask us about how we can help them with that anonymous visitor problem. But I'm not ready to grab the panic button yet, but you know, this is one of those fundamental sea changes and the smart marketer will begin planning now.
Steve, there's no way I'm stepping on that. That sounds like a perfect place to wrap that up. That was a mic drop moment. You know, any parting thoughts before I let you get on with the rest of your day?
Yeah, no, Tim, I think, like you said, I'll just end it there.
Outstanding. Well, great talking to you. I'll catch you next time. All right.
Take care, Tim.
Chat is brought to you by Solo Segment. Solo Segment is a technology company focused on site search analytics and AI-driven content discovery to improve search results, increase customer satisfaction, and unlock revenue for your company. Solo Segment, make your search smarter. And learn more at solosegment.com. If you like what you've heard today, click on the subscribe links you can find at solosegment.com/podcast. On iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts can be found. You can also find us on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/company/solosegment, on Facebook at facebook.com/solosegment, on Twitter using the Twitter handle @solosegment, or you can drop us an email at info@solosegment.com. Again, that's info@solosegment.com. For Search Chat, I'm Tim Peter. I hope you have a great rest of the week. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll look forward to chatting with you next time here on Search Chat. Until then, take care, everybody.